up with great skill from him. To England, Mo Salah! Raheem Sterling! What a finish! What pure class from the Englishman!
Premier Talk, the English Premier League podcast for the fans.
Hello and welcome back to the Premier Talk podcast, season 3, episode 17. Another good one in store for you guys listening on all platforms. I'm one of your two hosts as always, Andrew Mello. And alongside with me is Danny B, Danielle Barbudo. Hey, Danielle, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you, Andrew?
Bro, I'm not too bad, man. I'm not too bad. But
you're excited. I know that.
I am excited. Super busy right now. I just got a drone, so I'm hyped about that. Drone footage is gonna be
Top of the charts.
Top of the charts, baby. So I'm hyped about that. That's all I've been talking about all week. So yeah, man, life's good, but life is not so good for my favorite club in the Prem. That is none other than Chelsea FC. We're gonna talk about it in this episode. More breaking news surrounding the club, of course, and its owner. Its current owner, Roman Abramovich. So a lot up in the air for the London-based side, and we're gonna dive into it in this episode.
Kicking us off, starting lineup. We got the games of the week.
We got a little table recap for you guys.
And then we're going to talk about how Chelsea Football Club is currently frozen.
Frozen, baby. They're frozen.
It's a tough situation for those who support Chelsea and those who play for Chelsea. Anyways, we'll get into that deep in the episode.
You're willing to sacrifice my love for Chelsea.
Games of the week. There's two games I want to talk about. One team. Newcastle.
Yo, is this what the is same going Newcastle? On with this Yo, club? Is this the same Newcastle from the start of the season? Definitely not, man. The oil money definitely hit in the transfer window. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, because they were going to get relegated. And now they're currently 6-2 in their last eight. Their last loss came on January 8th to a third division side, Cambridge United FC. They've been crazy as of late. On Saturday, March 5th, they played Brighton. They won this one 2-1. They got their goals from Fraser and Shar in the 12th and the 14th, and that was enough to keep Brighton at arms. They ended up winning 2-1. Brighton started their comeback with a dunk goal in the 55th, but it wasn't enough. And then the second game Newcastle had this week, because there was a bunch of makeup games this week as well, was them versus Southampton. And everybody thought this would be the fine, this would be the test, you know, because they've been playing teams, although they've been 6-2-0 in their last eight.
Yeah.
They haven't lost, but they haven't really played anybody that's been a decent opponent. Southampton is decent. They're not awful, but they haven't been that great this year. But they come up with the 3 points again in this one, beating Southampton 2-1. You got Stuart Armstrong. He kicked the game off for Southampton, looking like Newcastle was going to be mudded. But then 5 minutes later, Chris Wood equalized. It was a nice header.
I hate Chris Wood, man.
What's wrong with Chris Wood? Did you see the little touch wood after the reporter was like, oh, you guys are 6-2-0 in your last eight. Like, you guys are in good order form. And he's like, oh, touch wood. And he touched himself. It's like, you're a weirdo. I was having a laugh, though. It was funny. And then for Newcastle to win this game, did you see this goal? Bruno Guimarães with a flying back
heel. Oh my God. Can we just rewind there for a second?
What? Are you going to the name?
Oh, my God. Okay, never mind. It's okay. We'll get past that.
I like butchering people. Well, I don't like it, but I don't want
to. Guimarães. Guimarães.
Okay, so
let's hear it. Guimarães. Hit me with the Guimarães right now.
Guimarães. Okay, no. People that's Bruno Guimarães. That's the closest I'm getting to Guimarães.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, butchering people's names. Mello loves it.
Yo,
he scored a flying back heel.
You know,
and the back heel was nasty.
You know, would be mad at that pronunciation.
He would.
No, the guy, the Haseba guy, that's all over TikTok. Haseba. You ever see that guy?
No.
Bro, where have you been?
I'm not on the side of TikTok. You are.
Oh my, bro! Everyone knows this guy. Some Brazilian guy that's going crazy. He
still got the glasses.
No, he does those little things in like this dirt field, and he just cracks absolute bangers. Anyways, for those of you that know, you know, bro. Daniel,
I'm not on that side. My side of TikTok consists of just like
get on the Haseba wave. For those of you
just that edits of just gross goals in the Prem. That's my side of TikTok.
Anyway, sorry, I'm getting off track here.
Anyways, that put Newcastle win the game against Southampton 2-1. That back heel goal was filthy. It was gross. And it was a new signing who did it too, so good on you. Showing that the Newcastle money is finally coming in, and it's working. It is. Although they didn't sign anybody massive, it's just players that they could now afford.
Guimaraes, I always knew was solid. I told you when he came in, man, this guy's a top player and a serious player. And if you're an Arsenal, you would have loved to have that guy in your midfield. Or if you're a Tottenham, you'd have loved to have that guy in your midfield. Even United could use him. Because this guy, man, he's just consistent. He's very consistent and he's a high IQ player, Daniel. Very high IQ player, reads the game well, knows where to be. He's just a well-rounded six, if you will.
Yep, I completely agree. And then the third game of the week that we need to talk about, because it's always a big game, but it's proving not to be in the last few years. Yeah. We got the Manchester Derby with City coming on and absolutely dummying United. Not wearing the United kit today, I couldn't do it after this.
Slowly turning into the Merseyside Derby, where there's one team that's always winning, and you know you're to put your money on before the game even starts. And that's Daniel, as sad as it is, that's what it's starting to become.
It is sad because this Manchester, both sides. Okay, the City side is phenomenal, and know that they can go out and crush any opponent they feel like on any given day.
But it's a derby, Daniel. You got to give something, man. You got to give something different.
United doesn't look like they want it. They don't feel like they want it. They don't look like they're playing in a derby match, because they go out there like it's just another game, and it's not. I'm sorry, it isn't. But anyways, moving on to the goals in this one, you got KDB. He had a double. First one came in the 5th minute. And then Sancho ended up equalizing, which what I thought was a pretty nice goal, considering Sancho's run of form lately has been a little bit better than what he has been.
At least he's been at the club. He's been leading that club.
Yep, he has been. And he picked up a really nice goal in this one, a nice little cutback and finessed the far post. I thought at this point, we're going to stay in this game. And then 7 minutes later, De Bruyne with his second, which was just awful. The ball was bouncing around in the box. You got the clearances that came from this United back line was poor. Like, it was awful. And as a result, it landed right at De Bruyne's foot. And that's probably the last person you want the ball to land at their feet, because he's scoring from there all day long with De Gea sprawling out on the ground. And he made no mistake smashing into the top corner. And then you got Mahrez, and he's been phenomenal as of late. His goal, his first goal in the 68th minute, was a volley directly off a corner outside the box.
That goal was disgusting.
Like, and it was filthy.
Bro, like, people don't understand the level of the degree of difficulty to a goal like that. First of all, the ball's curling out, not in, out. Yep. And it's spinning so fast, it hits the ground, it skids, and he hits it on the half volley with such technique, such precision, such accuracy, and people... If you understand the game and you watch this, if you watch football day in, day out, you could just sit back and
honestly, I was watching the game and
I just have to appreciate it. That's a world-class goal. And one of the best I've seen in a long, long time. And it just shows you the type of player Riyad Mahrez is. He's just class player. Daniel, interesting stat actually, since he's come back from international duty in the CONCACAF, on February 5th, his first appearance back, he's had 8 goals and 2 assists. That's a pretty impressive track record over the last month or so. Daniel, this guy, his first touch is arguably the best in the game right now. If you've seen him play midweek against Sporting for the UCL second tie, every ball he received, long ball,
was phenomenal. It was just a touch of God.
And just such class and precision to bring the ball down. You just sit back and you just admire his game. That's the beauty. If you think of what a first touch should look like, search up Riyad Mahrez first touch on YouTube and go watch some videos, because man, this guy is unreal. Unreal. Like, it's just so fun to watch. So fun to watch.
I think that goal is up there with Thiago's goal, his volley at the
But I think it's better than Thiago's goal, in my opinion. There's bodies
just simply because the technique that you need to hit that right off the corner is incredible. It is. And like you said, you have to just, no matter who you're cheering for in this game, you literally sit back and clap. Yeah. Like, I was so angry that he smashed that ball into the back of the net, but I literally sat there like stunned. I was literally like, that goal was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, well, what are you going to do? You're going to, how angry can you get when you get a worldie scored on you against a City side and against Mahrez, who is a phenomenal player. And for me, he's one of the more underrated players in the Premier League.
Yeah, he's
being completely honest. People don't give him the time of day that he should be getting, because he's one of the best players in the Prem. He was up there with, for me, he's up there with, I don't know if he's not Mane and Salah level yet.
Bro, he's just
but
under,
he's close.
He's close. Bro, the streets will never forget Leicester City Ryan Mahrez, bro. They won't. Mm-hmm. That guy, left foot.
Was a demon.
It's still the same guy. It's still the same person. But, man, just that season, he was like a possessed man, mm-hmm. bro. That guy was like cutting in left foot. Every time he cut on his left and he's in front of the net, no matter who's in front of him, he's deking them out. A couple skill moves and left foot banger, finesse shots. Like, mm-hmm. that was just insane. Insane.
And there's two other games I just want to shout out real quick. Arsenal, not one new Arsenal, two new Arsenal. Bolton and Watford, because they've actually been good as of late. And I know we don't say this very often on this podcast, but they haven't.
That could have been a lot worse, though. I tuned into that game and Emmanuel Dennis scored very early. It was like 30 mm-hmm. seconds or a minute into the game. Something so stupid like that. It's so ridiculous. And then it got taken back. So they were lucky. Mm-hmm. And then they, man, that first goal from Arsenal was just fantastic. That was a fantastic goal. The link-up play. Yeah, the link-up team play on the right side with Saka and Odegaard. Wow. That was just... I don't like to talk good about Arsenal too much. I try to limit my my good commentary about them. But nah, man. In all seriousness, that was just a well-worked goal and a fantastic... Just mm-hmm. you just passed the ball to the net. That's just a lovely team goal.
Yep, it was. It was phenomenal. And then the other team I wanted to give a quick shout-out to, because we've been chatting pretty poorly about them in the last recent weeks. Tottenham, they come out against Everton and they absolutely smash them.
I know they're frauds. And Tottenham's frauds. They're frauds. But
Kane played so good.
I don't care. Kane's always going to be there. Son's always going to be there. But the rest of the team, frauds, bro. They played Everton, man. Everton sucks.
That's true. And about this Everton side,
they suck.
Are they going to be the first big team in a long time to get relegated?
Yeah, probably. Bro, I wouldn't be surprised. They deserve it. They deserve it, man.
Bro, they've been bad.
Bro, managers. Very poor. They spend money. Like, it's not working out for them. I think maybe it's good for them to go down. Maybe it's like a little kick in the ass and they'll be like, oh, you know, we got relegated. We have to smart enough for not only mm-hmm. for our fans. You know, we've been poor in every single Merseyside derby there's been. Literally, they've been in fear. Like, maybe this is something good for them. Maybe a mm-hmm. reset. Check in reality, because they do the same thing every year, Daniel. Oh, let's go contend for Europe. Oh, yeah. Let's go try to get in a Europa League spot.
Yeah.
And Daniel, it never pans out. It never pans out. I feel so bad for guys like Doucouré that should be on better teams. You know, I feel bad for guys like Richarlison that should be on better teams. But
Calvert-Lewin, for me, should be on a better team.
Calvert-Lewin,
as well.
I don't know. But
yeah, he's been good this year, actually, to be honest. He was good at the beginning.
But beyond that, man, I think they need a reset. And it wouldn't be the, you know, I'm not an Everton fan, so I could care less if they get mm-hmm. If I was an Everton fan, I may have a different opinion. But just viewing it from, like, quality of the side and, like, just over the last 10 years, what they've accomplished, man, it's been poor. It's been poor. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is a reset they need to check the reality, go down, come back up the following year with some fresh perspective, you know, and a different take. And maybe they'll be best for them. Who knows?
Well, this is a good little funnel towards the table recap, just because I'm just going to head straight to the relegation. Who's the relegation area, because it's not looking good for a few teams right now. I think the five teams in contention to get relegated this year are Norwich, who...
Yeah, Norwich.
They're going to get relegated.
Yeah, rip Norwich.
Watford, Burnley, Everton and Leeds. Those are teams sitting currently 16th to 20th.
Man, it's like, who deserves it more? Who deserves to go down more, Leeds or Everton? It's a close one. It's a battle.
Both of them have been poor.
They both suck.
The last five games for Leeds has been five L's.
Yeah.
The last five games for Everton has been one dub and four L's.
Both new managers, both have high expectations. Leeds, I know they came up just a couple, like last year, but it's their second mm-hmm. year back. But... you know, the fans demand a lot, especially at a club like that. It's a big club. So,
and we were talking about Newcastle in this relegation side.
Yeah, Newcastle, man. They're,
2 months ago.
They're safe, man. I think they're going to be safe. I think they're good. Yep.
I agree with you. I think that they're already sitting at 31 points. Look, they've jumped up. Those six wins have been absolutely massive for them. Six wins and two draws have been huge.
I agree.
And with a team on that sort of form, you don't see them faltering anytime soon. I can see them easily ending up as a mid-table team. Sitting in 8th, 9th, 10th. I don't see anything stopping them, to be completely honest with you. Yeah. Considering like the teams that are in 8th, 9th, and 10th right now, Wolves, who are, they've been on and off. Yeah. They had like, they were very poor at the beginning of the year. Then they got really hot. Now they're back to like, eh, again.
Who, Wolves?
You got Aston Villa.
Well, yeah, Wolves won the other day 4-0. They slapped up
Watford. They did.
They slapped up
but Watford. They were coming off
watching those. Yeah, I know.
They
I
were
know
coming off of 3 L's
yeah,
in a row. Fair so, enough. Like, off they and on. That. They even like that. Aston Villa, same thing. They're at 2 L's in a row right now.
Yeah.
Like, they're good. This Coutinho, when he first came, I thought that he was going to change his club. And he did for the first couple games. I think he contributed a lot. Last two games, not so much.
I saw an interesting stat. I sent it to you, actually, on socials. But it was something comparing him and Grealish. And Grealish has had like 19 or 20 games, and he only has like 2 goals and 2 assists, where like Coutinho has 7 games played and like 5 goals and like 3 assists or something like that. It was just an interesting stat where Coutinho has had more production but less games. I found it interesting. Yeah. Anyways, Daniel.
But then again, yeah. Coutinho highlights that squad while Grealish is a bench player.
Yeah, exactly. Fair enough.
You got to look at those type of things too. But yeah, I know what you're saying. And then the other little race I want to talk about, considering the City and Liverpool race is heating up yet again, is the top five. Who's going to make Europe? And it's looking like, I still think City personally is going to win the league.
Yeah, I think so too. They kind of let it slip.
They're 6 points up currently on Liverpool. Liverpool has a game in hand. So Liverpool does have a good shot of bringing it to 3 points. And I think it's going to be, like I said last week, the first team to falter, the first team to lose or tie a couple games in a row. That's going to be the team that loses out on this race. Then you got Chelsea in third, Arsenal currently sitting in fourth with like 3 games in hand on everyone.
Yeah.
United in fifth, West Ham in sixth, Tottenham in seventh, and then Wolves in eighth. And I think those are the only teams that right now are close enough. Maybe not even Wolves. I don't even think Wolves has a shot of making.
Wolves are probably big conference. They'll make conference league, I think, Wolves.
Yeah. So listen, it's the usual characters that we're going to see competing for the top five. I don't think there's going to be any surprises this year. And I think each of these teams have, I don't know who's going to finish that fourth spot. That fourth spot is going to be the most interesting race this year. The last team to get into Champions League.
Yeah.
Just simply because, look, Arsenal have been great as of late. United have been poor. West Ham's been decent. Tottenham has been like shocking and then amazing and then shocking and then amazing. So like, we're still expecting an Arsenal falter sometime this year.
Yeah.
It was at the beginning of the year they had one. They still have like 13 matches to be played. They're going to falter. It's an Arsenal thing to do. So it just needs to be timely because they have to hope that teams aren't catching them while they're faltering. Yeah. And we'll see how this top four race goes because it's going to be interesting.
Daniel, on that note, we'll switch to the next topic. A big topic in the football world and the Premier League world. Chelsea FC have been frozen, Daniel. Essentially, they've been frozen. So the sale, what that means is the sale of the club has been frozen. They're not allowed to sell the club. So it's like, where do you go from here? He wants to sell the club. We spoke about this last podcast last week, saying that Robin said it was time for him to go, time for him to sell the club, but they don't want him to sell. Mm-hmm. They're freezing him and prohibiting him from the sale of the club. And this could be detrimental to the state of Chelsea FC. These are the UCL reigning champs. The club World Cup champs, who just won last couple weeks ago, and they're in this state of absolute turmoil, or soon to be turmoil, really, because the budget's going to take a big hit, and they're not allowed to sell any tickets to non-season ticket holders. So only season ticket holders can attend matches, so the stadiums could be significantly less full. Mm-hmm. No current player could sign a contract, a new contract. They can't renew. So that could have severe implications for those guys like Rudiger, Aspi, and Andreas Christensen, who are going to be out of contract. Yep. They're all out of contract come the end of the season. So they might end up losing some big guys. Rudiger has been essential to this back line, and so has Aspi, very versatile guy and a club captain. So you might lose some really important guys. And they're not allowed to buy anyone. They can't go buy any players, new players, and they cannot even sell any players if they wanted to. So they've been completely sanctioned by the British government, and you know, right now it's looking uneasy if you're a Chelsea fan, because you know, your club is in a state of shock right now. And mm-hmm. you know, even to travel for international games, so UCL fixtures, they only got a 20k budget for a team like this, you know, that's mm-hmm. used to traveling private chartered planes and, you know, having the best accommodations and food and travel. You know, they're gonna have to fly economy now. So imagine yep. you pull up to your flight
and you got the whole Chelsea squad
and you got Romelu Lukaku sitting beside you in economy. So I mean, it's gonna be weird. And even three of their main jersey sponsors pulled out too, because they don't want to be involved with Roman Abramovich's club. So Chelsea's taking a big hit in terms of their dollars right now. So it's very interesting. You know, may even have implications on Thomas Tuchel, the manager. Who knows where he's going to be next season. It just, for a club that's had the success they had last year, and then, you know, flip of the switch, they're just going to, the future doesn't look the same as it did only a couple short weeks ago.
I don't know how I feel about this, just simply because Abramovich got sanctioned, but the UK hadn't put any restrictions on the club mm-hmm. because he was in the midst of selling. Mm-hmm. But then he went and he announced that the money would be going towards the war efforts, or not the war efforts, going towards Ukraine mm-hmm. for what's going on, obviously, in Russia.
Any
right
net
now.
Profit, that's what it was. I think it was net profit. He was still going to make the money, right? But the net profit, he would give away, yeah.
And that, as soon as he said that, that's when the UK government stepped in and they put a bunch of restrictions down. I don't know how I feel about this, just simply because, like, look, you're how do I say this properly? You're stopping a club from doing basically everything.
And Dino,
and then one of the top clubs in Europe.
Yeah, Dino, would you
want to see
how
you can go and bring politics into this?
Yeah, like, would you want to see? You know, Chelsea brought in a lot of money for the Premier League last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the advertising and doing you know, being successful in the UCL obviously brings back money from the Prem. So why would you, mm-hmm. you know, it's not the Prem's decision ultimately, it's the British government's decision. But for the Prem, this is like not a good look, right? Because mm-hmm. this is a top five team. They contend, you know, pretty much year in, year out for titles in the last 5 to 8 years. UCLs, they got them. You know, world-class players, they got them. World-class manager, they got them. And, you know, it's looking like this could be a club being disassembled slowly but surely with these mm-hmm. sanctions. And if you can't sell, I find that very conflicting. I think they still got to let him sell regardless of the situation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm not a politician, Daniel, so I don't know the ins and outs of the sanctions. So
I think one of the things with him selling was that the UK government has to adhere to to everything going on in the whole selling portion of the club, because they need to see everything that's going on. And they said that none of that money will be touching Ukraine. Yeah. Those are two of the demands that need to be met in order for Abramovich to sell the club. But then again, it's like, he has the means to sell the club, but right now he's not going to, because all this stuff he needs to deal with.
Yeah.
There's so much more than just selling the club at this point. And I want to touch upon two different things. Azpilicueta, Rudiger, and Christensen are all already linked with new clubs.
Yep.
So they've all said that they'd be willing to stay. I think the only person who's completely gone like 100% is Christensen. He's already signed a verbal agreement with Barcelona.
Yeah.
Rudiger, who knows if he's going to... I know Madrid has interest, and so does Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
And he can land at either of those teams.
Yeah.
And then Azpilicueta is the same thing as Christensen. He wants to go somewhere in Spain. And I think Barcelona are looking at him as well. So these three players, although they might want to come back, they may be forced out of this squad, which is just really bad timing. It is. Because you have to feel bad for the Chelsea. Like, this is three guys off their back line.
Yeah, and then if they lose these guys, they can't replace them. They're not allowed to. You can't buy anyone. So that's the problem here. Like, you lose Rudiger and Aspi. There goes your two guys. And then you got Thiago Silva. I'm not saying Thiago Silva's a bad player. I rate Thiago Silva, but he's getting older and older by the day. So how reliable is Thiago Silva going to be without the likes of Rudiger and Christensen beside him, you know? and Aspi, three center backs are gone. So you're going to essentially only have Malang Sarr, who's, you know, a little bit unproven still. Chalaba, he's been sort of establishing himself in this Chelsea squad, doing well, but is he ready? Is he ready yet? That's is he ready to carry that load and be at that high level that Chelsea needs him to be at alongside a guy like Thiago Silva that's declining? He is declining. He's 37. He's not getting any younger. So it's problematic, Daniel. It's really problematic for this Chelsea side. And, it's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks and months to see how these sanctions unfold and if they'll be lifted so he could sell the club. And then finally the club could move on, because if this prolongs for an extended period of time, this could be bad.
It would be detrimental to the Chelsea club as we know it.
Like, you know, everyone's making memes online and stuff. You know, like they're joking, saying that they're gonna be the next Piemonte Calcio and like FIFA, so they're not gonna have their club licensing next year for FIFA. Just jokes like that I've been seeing. So, but in all seriousness, it could be really bad for Chelsea. So, yeah.
One final thing I want to touch on: where will Thomas Tuchel be at the end of next year if this continues, or at the end of this year if this continues?
Who knows?
Because as of yesterday, when this all went down, Tuchel is already getting linked with clubs already.
Yeah.
Because they've told him they don't know what his future may hold at Chelsea.
Yeah, but the media loves a good story, though.
The media does love a good story, and I do agree with that. I think that this is a lot of hearsay considering it just happened.
Yeah.
But I know the likes of Manchester United already on top of them. They already are. They're like, why? Because they're looking for a manager. And I think that if you're going to go sign somebody, although you don't want to, realistically, you don't want to be signing a manager under these circumstances. These circumstances are very rare circumstances. And he's not going to be one that's going to want to leave this club in the dust after what they've gone through over the last year. But he may be a good fit for Manchester United. I think he's a good fit for almost every club in Europe because he's proved himself to be. But Manchester United looking for a manager, I don't see the reason why they shouldn't be picking him up.
Tuchel to Watford confirmed. You hear it here first.
Yeah. Tuchel back to PSG. Imagine he proves something there.
No.
Oh, they have Zidane coming in. That's going to be a disaster.
PSG's in worse state than Chelsea is right now.
Yeah. PSG's in shambles. You got Neymar wanted out. Messi wants back to Barcelona. And Mbappe's gone to Madrid next year.
Yeah.
So. See you later to that squad.
It's a pretty interesting scenario there. Mm-hmm. Benzema has, did you know Benzema has more goals against Ligue
1 than Messi?
Messi does.
Yeah.
And Messi plays in Ligue 1. So
look, I am a Messi. I will come out and be the first person to say that I'm a Messi fanboy. I think Messi is the greatest player of all time. With Ronaldo.
How do I mute you?
Coming behind him, you got to relax. I got to say this before Melo gets mad. Ronaldo is behind Messi. But yeah, Messi has not been good. And like, it's shown that, I know, sorry, Premier League, we're kind of getting off topic here, but he's one of the greatest players of all time. And it's shown, I think Ronaldo has been the only person that can go to another team and just continue like he never left.
Yeah.
But then again, Ronaldo right now is having problems at Manchester United, and he has been over the last couple of games, and now he's being left off squads, which is even more of a disaster there. So who knows where that situation is going to pan out to. You're seeing two of the best players ever in an era that only we've been able to live through. And it's slowly coming to an end. And it's the saddest thing ever. It is. It's so depressing.
Yeah, it is what it is. What can you do? Emmanuel Dennis could be the next guy up. So it's ready for that. anyways, that about wraps it up, Daniel, for this episode of Premier Talk, episode 17, season 3. Another one in the books. Hope you guys enjoyed listening. Follow us on our socials at Premier Talk Podcast, Premier Talk Official. Sorry, that's the old handle. Premier Talk Official on Instagram. Check us out there. Yeah, Daniel.
Yeah, guys, as always, thank you so much for listening. Quick little thing. Andrew Melo next week is going to be spending his entire lovely week in Portugal.
I'm out of here, bro. I'm out.
So he's going to, as he's enjoying the nice warm weather, I'll be sitting here in Canada freezing. We're going to have a little guest. One of my friends is going to come on. Big Arsenal fan, so try not to kill him in the comments. But if they've been good, so he's gonna have a lot to talk about. I can't, he's already pressing me that United's crap and Arsenal's the best club in the world and all this garbage. So we'll hear what he has to say next week while Melo enjoys himself in Portugal.
Yes, sir. You already know. See you later. I'm gonna enjoy my time and I'm gonna try to enjoy it.
You're so lucky.
It's not good enough. Yeah. It is what it is.
We'll see you in 2 weeks. Anyways, guys, thanks so much for listening as always. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. And we'll see you guys next week. Take care, everyone.
See you later.